designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Listen, Engineer Anderson, you remember when I got into radio?
You like the big point.
I like the big point. I don't like the backhanded flap, like they sort of leave me alone, I'm busy with something, while you look down at the board. I want the look and the point.
But you like realism, too, Adam. So let's get on.
Yeah, all right.
No,
here's what I want. I don't want a backhand point. That's beat it. You're bothering me. I want the finger.
I'll give you the finger next time, believe me.
Thank you. Missy Pyle is our guest tonight. Missy is in Bringing Down the House, the number one movie in the box office last 3 weeks.
3 weeks in a row.
3 weeks in a row, and no signs of slowing down. And although I've not seen the movie.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I know. I'm sorry.
What are we going to talk about?
We'll talk about me.
Okay.
And why I haven't
even if he'd seen the movie.
Did you
he'd
see
be
the
talking
movie?
About him.
We were talking about what the movie meant to me.
Okay. It's better than just me saying it.
All right.
And evidently, Missy had a scene stealing or a movie stealing scene with in the movie. That's what I do know about the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. And may I say you're very attractive.
Thank you.
People aren't normally that attractive.
Witness Mr. Carolla.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
What's that mean? I think that's a bad thing. Well, anyway, Missy also has a movie coming out. Oh, Josie and the Pussycats.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Well, I saw parts of it.
Right, as most people only did.
Yeah, which one were you?
I was the, I played Alexandra, who was like the neighbor with the skunk stripe in
her
hair.
Yeah. But she had black hair.
She had black hair, but like a white streak.
Yeah. Almost sort of, well, yeah, I always thought of it as gray, although she was not, she looked like a skunk head. Yeah. So you dyed your hair?
My hair is dark, normally.
Oh, Missy's blonde as she sits in front of me.
I did it for the Bringing Down the House. I dyed it blonde, and then it just keeps getting blonder.
It works on you.
Thank you.
Yeah, some people dye their hair, and it's evident that that's not their natural color, but not you.
It depends on who your colorist is.
Yeah.
Adam's always said that.
Spent a lot of time thinking about that.
Always said that.
I go to Sir Brillo of Beverly Hills.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And also, when is this new movie coming out that's opposite Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston?
I don't know. At this point, I don't think it has a title. It's the Untitled John Hamburg Project.
Yeah. Who's John Hamburg?
John Hamburg wrote There's Something About Mary and a couple other movies, and so he's written and directed this one.
Oh, he's big time, this kid. All right, so we can look forward to this coming out soon enough, too, but they got to give it a title first, right?
Right.
All right, so has your life been changed by Bringing Down the House? I mean, it's not that you hadn't done some movies before that, but are you getting more attention from casting agents and all that stuff now?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit here and there. Mostly, it's the first movie I've ever done where I actually look like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was listening to this movie, Galaxy Quest. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
You did?
And I do recognize you from that.
Nice.
No, wait a minute. Your hair was black in that.
It was black.
Yeah, was it
was
shorter?
Yeah, I played an alien, so I wore this like little black wig.
It was like a little bob, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that movie was a real sort of sleeper hit. I mean, it was like, oh boy, what's this about? And then everyone loved it.
Yeah.
It got really good reviews.
It was great.
Well received.
I loved it.
Well received.
You were great, too. I didn't realize that was you. You're great.
Thank you.
Work on your point over there, would you?
Galaxy Quest. The Tim Allen?
Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And Jim Jouleboub. What's that guy's name? What's the guy with the crazy name who's on?
Enrico Colantoni?
You are.
No.
Sam Rockwell?
No, the guy with the crazy
Tony
name.
Tony Shalhoub?
Tony Shalhoub, yeah. Jouleboub wasn't close enough?
It was.
Tony Shalhoub, yes. Mm-hmm. All right, so. You know this game is played. We just take some calls.
I've seen that. I will say, you asked me if my life would change because I will answer that.
Oh yes.
Actually,
we start talking about that Galaxy Quest.
One thing. No, but I did get a letter today from a fan, and it was like a big thick envelope, and it was a belated birthday card, And he had put all these like Jesus pamphlets in it for me to save my soul.
Yeah.
And then he sent me like, you know, like 8 pages of stapled, you know, Bible verses. He told me that not only does he care about me, but Jesus does too. So
Jesus evidently cares about more people than even care about him, I've found out.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to care. He seems, according to the people that care about Jesus, he cares about people that don't care about him even more than he cares about the people that do care about him, which I say is a priority problem. But
codependency.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew, you ever got any letters from anyone who cared about Jesus and cared about you caring about Jesus?
Not recently.
I had this really hot chick on a plane behind me. I mean, she was sitting behind me in a plane, and she was really good-looking, blonde. And she was feverishly writing this letter the whole trip. And at the end of the trip, I think it was going to New York, she handed it to me. And
I thought,
Carolla, you really got it, buddy.
No.
And she was like, surfed for Jesus.
Uh-oh.
Like, it was one of these things. Like,
she was a Jesus surfer?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, everyone that gets into Jesus, whatever they do it for
That's
Jesus.
Right.
Although it's if you skateboard, if you surf, if you ski, or if you play an instrument, I guess you kind of do it for Jesus. But guys who work at muffler shops don't seem to do it for Jesus, or at least don't brag about doing it for
Not
Jesus.
Not so frequently, no.
But she surfed
letter.
For Jesus. Oh, she was going to save me.
She knew about your evil ways. And
evidently.
Yeah.
People are more privy to my evil ways, I think, via this show and the Man Show and other things like that than they are to other people's evil ways.
I was before I even met you.
You knew about
the
evil ways.
I knew about your evil ways.
All right. Well, you have an hour and 54 minutes to save me.
All right.
I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
As we all do.
Albert?
Yeah, how about it?
Oh, boy.
All right. Albert, I can't get out the gate with you.
You can't?
No. All right. Now, hang on, Albert. I'll talk to you in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm not emotionally up to Albert. Kelly?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. Well, it's kind of a complicated problem, I guess you could say. But I've been sexually active for about a year, probably around 9 months, 10 months.
Since you were 14?
I was 14 when I lost my virginity, yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, well, lately when I've had sex, like, last month and stuff, like, I would have sex, and, like, the first part of it, I would be, like, pleasured and, like, happy, you know, but then it would just kind of lose its feeling. Like, I wouldn't have an orgasm. It would just kind of be like, oh,
how old is, I got a whole bunch of questions. How old is your boyfriend?
Well, my boyfriend at the time was 17.
And how long before you lose the pleasure feeling? How many minutes?
Minutes. About 15 or 20, maybe.
Okay. That's after about 10 minutes, most women turn into ouch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's normal. Have you ever had an orgasm?
Yeah.
But with this guy, no?
No.
Do you have orgasm during intercourse?
Hmm?
Do you have orgasm during intercourse?
Yeah.
Is that your phone?
Yeah, they want to see if she's on the
radio.
Is that you on the radio?
Sorry, I turned it off.
Yeah. All right. I'm not counting this as a problem. Are you counting?
No, it just sounds like the relationship just wasn't quite right. You were too young to really know. You basically shouldn't have been having sex, frankly. I mean,
this was about a month ago, I mean, though.
I know.
Oh, so she was now 15.
Oh,
yeah,
so
I'm 15.
Oh, you're well.
I
stand corrected.
Old maid.
Yeah.
Come on, Drew.
I beg your pardon. And that, look, if you aren't in a point where you can sort of assert yourself and be clear about what your needs are, it's hard to have pleasure in those kinds of encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Also, better you be with somebody you really care about, so that person can be sort of
attuned. Oh, I did care about him.
No, he cares about you, I guess what I'm looking for, so he can pay attention to what's going on with you.
But she's not in a relationship now, or she is?
I'm not in a relationship right now, sorry.
You're
so
not.
Who is the person you had sex with?
Hmm?
Her
a month ago. I was the ex.
Okay, listen,
Kelly.
Kelly, I'm hanging up on you now, too.
Right.
Here's the deal. I can't do the I can't repeat everything. And they always want you to repeat the uncomfortable stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you always go, was there irritation with vaginal intercourse? And now you want to reword it?
And
Did your coos hurt when he was nailing you? Yeah, it's always weird.
And then they repeat back, irritation, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Listen, everybody, if your phone doesn't work right or you can't devote your full attention to the show, don't call the show. And look, I know what you, Drew, I know where you're at, because you're like, you hate talking to 14-year-olds about intercourse.
Yes, that's true.
It never gets old, or it always gets old.
It's forever old. forever untasteful.
And so when you have to repeat it, it just gets bad.
That's right.
It's like you summoning up the courage to break up with someone or quit your job, and you tell your boss why you quit, and then he looks up at you and says, "What? Did you say something?"
Yeah.
It's pain. You got to relive the pain again.
On the other hand, although she was engaged with somebody way too early, she's functioned normally. She has orgasms and intercourse way ahead of a 15-year-old's normal functioning at that level.
That's right.
But not able to sort of assert what she wants and needs and tell the guy when she's uncomfortable, for crying out loud.
Missy, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I just turned 30.
Just turned 30.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Looking good.
Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. Like you're not supposed to.
Yeah, I don't know. You know. Here's what I'm saying.
I have this image of Missy standing up and like kicking you in the face.
She could do it.
I know. I see it coming.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Probably taking those Tai Bo classes and everything.
Did you know that I did Tai Bo in the movie?
No, I didn't know that. Mm. But I'm just, you got Tai Bo written all over you.
Stop it.
Did you do Tai Bo in the movie?
In the movie, my character did Tai Bo, and I got in this fight scene with Queen Latifah. That was the whole thing.
We didn't know that.
That's funny.
It's another weird thing. How many guests have I asked if they did Tai Bo?
Zero. One. Missy.
Ooh. And you did Tai Bo in the movie.
I did.
It's getting really weird.
Why don't you predict what's going to happen in Iraq today? You're doing something worthwhile with those powers.
Let me look at my crystal ball. We'll kick some towelhead ass. That's what it said. That's what the magic 8-ball said. All right, so what was I saying? Oh, yeah, you're 30.
I'm 30.
You're 30. Now, we keep trying to tell the 15-year-old girls that call this show there's a difference between being 30 and 15 or being 22 and 15 right. sexually for a woman.
Right.
Did you experience that?
Well, I didn't have sex until I was, I think I was almost 18.
Right.
But then there's a difference between 18 and 30, say.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
Right, that's what we always tell them. They seem bewildered by that. No one tells 18-year-olds that it doesn't happen as automatically as it does for a male. There's a lot more sort of development of the experience and the feeling.
And where you are at 15 is not where you're going to be your whole life as a female sexually.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think you have feelings that you don't know what to do with when you're 15. And you know, I know for me, you know, a lot of the sexual encounters I got into, I didn't really want to get into them. I just didn't really know what else to do.
Right, right.
See, that, and believe me, the 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old guys, they know what to do,
exactly.
And that's what they want to do. That's it, period.
I just wish somebody had told me, like, just, you know, every guy that you meet wants to sleep with you.
Period.
They want, that's all they want from you.
They can't help it.
No, they can't help it. I mean, how many erections? erections do you have a day when you're like, isn't it like 40 or something when you're 15?
Continuous.
How many sexual thoughts do you have?
Sexual thoughts, it's like
every 3.2
and
seconds.
And we don't, girls, minutes. You know, they don't have that. They just, you know, it's like, we just want to make out and be sensitive.
Yeah,
you know,
cuddle.
Because you get these
But the other thing, the problem is that there's a huge range in what women experience. Some women are kind of like guys at that age. They're very androgenic. They're very sort of mm-hmm. testosterone prone and have lots of thoughts and stuff. And so to say that there's one way the women, we're talking about general trends,
right,
general
true.
Trends. But what you're representing is the most common way by
right.
far.
All right. Let's continue with Rihanna, who's 21.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hi.
Hey.
I'm nervous.
She was going to correct you on the pronunciation of her name.
I know.
And she very wisely
I didn't
thought.
Want to be rude, though.
That's
no, Rihanna,
right.
very good. Now good. Well, how do you pronounce your name?
No.
Rihanna.
No,
Rihanna. Okay, great.
Don't give
but
a crap.
I was curious. She didn't correct me. It's fine.
All right.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I haven't had a period in like the past 7 years.
7 years. Yeah. Are you underweight?
No.
You exercise excessively?
No.
Are you on medication?
Right now, Synthroid for hypothyroidism.
Do you have polycystic ovaries or anything of that
yes.
sort? You're right. So you have PCO. All right. So there you go.
That's like the whole problem there.
That's
because,
the big problem.
I have been seeing my doctor for it, obviously. They found dysplasia and all that, and they
But now you're in a different... You mean cervical dysplasia?
Yes.
Okay, it had nothing to do with your ovarian function.
No.
Okay.
They did an endometrial biopsy,
uh-huh.
I believe that's what it's called,
uh-huh.
and they didn't find anything with that.
Good.
They put me on the pill, and that didn't even start anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the pill. Now I'm still on it for, like, the past 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't had anything. I've been switching back and forth with doctors because I would leave the state. And
why?
Well, I got accepted to college through Disney, and that all went
so complicated.
I'm confused already. Disney College?
I went to college for animation.
Pluto Scholarship.
Animation College?
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is it at Disney?
No, it's a subsidiary of Disney through Sarasota, Florida.
Wow, interesting.
I'd went there, but there were some complications, and I ended up leaving.
You want to tell us what the complications were?
Drew a dick on Pluto.
The complications were and my father had written the check for my tuition, and he put a stop payment on it.
That's
and he
nice.
Told me to pay for college myself, and I couldn't at that point.
What a good guy.
Yeah,
why did he do that?
He's a jerk. He hasn't been a part of my life ever, so he decided he wanted to be a part of my life when I turned 18 and I moved down there, and he just kind of screwed everything up for me, so I came back here to get a job and trying to...
Oh, my God. What an ass.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, I thought you got a scholarship.
I kind of slacked off really bad in school, so I didn't really do very well in school itself, so I didn't really apply for any scholarships or get any grants or try anything.
Couldn't sustain the scholarships.
Huh?
Well, didn't you say you had a scholarship to Disney College?
No, I was accepted through admissions.
All right.
They'd reviewed my portfolio, and by the portfolio itself, they said, oh, you're talented, we'll take you.
Okay,
so
all right. So
I went down.
So you're under treatment, you have anovulatory cycles because of your polycystic ovaries. Something's going on with the lining of your uterus, why it's not building up and sloughing off under the hormonal environment caused by the pill,
so
I don't know.
She can't have kids?
She can. It's going to be a little bit of work. But what's your question exactly?
Well, I wasn't sure where I was standing. Like, my doctors, they put me back on the every 6 months you get your checkup and I get my checkup, and they haven't really done anything to try and invoke a cycle.
Do they? And they're aware you haven't had anything in spite of the pill.
Right, exactly.
Are they interested in looking more at your uterus and whether or not
they wanted to do a D&C.
Yeah, I think that's where you're headed next.
And check that out. And then the other option, they told me that after the D&C, if they found nothing, they wanted to perform a hysterectomy.
I don't understand that.
I'm not really keen about that. I want to have kids someday.
I don't understand why I can't imagine why they recommended that. I don't get it.
I don't understand either. You know, I'm 21. I've never had children.
Do you have a family history of ovarian cancer or something, or breast cancer?
My great-grandmother died of it.
Dad has it, too.
All right. Anyway, you got to find somebody who watches you carefully and stays on top of this. It's all right.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a good time, Jenna.
Yeah, good time.
It says up on the screen you're a lesbian.
Yes, I am.
How are you going to have the kids?
Artificial insemination.
Who's going to be the breeder?
A sperm bank. I haven't put a lot of thought into it because I'm not financially or emotionally stable for that yet.
What's going on emotionally?
Just lots of stuff. My mother is unemployed, so I pretty much sustain our household and.
Wow.
And stuff like that, and I'm trying to educate myself and get out, and it's really hard when I have my family basically depending on me.
Wow.
What do you do for work?
I work at a contact lens factory, but I'm an internal auditor for, like, ISO and OSHA, and I audit lenses, basically.
Ew. I hate that OSHA.
Yeah. I love it when they come through and they ask you, like, the most asinine questions, and they're just like,
yeah.
So what do you do with this? And I'm like, I have no idea. There's a regulation book right over there. Why don't you check it out yourself?
All right. Well, you should be pursuing your art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that online.
Yeah. Get a job at, like, a tattoo place or something.
Yeah, I do that.
You do?
You do that, too?
You do tats?
All right. That's three.
I design tattoos. I do, like, personalized tattooing.
That's three. Your weird powers emerging tonight.
That's not that far-fetched, though, but I would assume.
She's an animator.
And, like, also those people who around Christmas time do the storefronts.
Yeah.
You know, they draw, like, the stereo shop to draw Santa listening to a stereo and a sleigh, that kind of thing. I always wonder about those people. Like, I guess you got to start.
Oh, the people that do stencil it with the.
In the window.
Yeah, they do the window paintings. They do, like, the Christmas window paintings. And I'm wondering, like, when do you start hitting the pavement? Like, you start around September. You don't want to be scooped.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to show up in November and have him go, oh, no, we already contracted a guy who's going to show up here in the middle of December to do this, you know? You got to have a book, right? You got to be able to dial it into whatever it is. You know, if it's a health food place, Santa's got to be eating some bean curd.
You have finally hit the limits of the topics I wish to consider.
I'm just saying, you know, it takes all kinds.
Indeed.
It takes all
Thank
kinds.
Thank you for finishing it that way.
Emily? You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm just calling. First, I'm sorry. I'm just really scared.
All right.
Also, we have two questions.
Uh-oh, the two of you, huh?
Yeah, is that okay?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, which question should we ask first?
Go quick, the quickest one.
Do we know what they are?
Yeah.
Emily, you should ask.
Okay, I was just wondering, there are, like, these pills that are supposed to increase your bust size.
Okay, they don't work.
They said they work.
Yep, they say they work. They don't.
Oh, is there anything I can do to...
A, B, C, D.
Uh-oh, yeah. Got the little girl voice. It's bad times.
Really, that's why plastic surgeons have developed the procedures they have, because that's
why Dr. Marcel has a solid gold pinky ring.
My mom said something about a progesterone cream. Is that...
Progesterone?
No.
Well, if the stuff does work, it's so marginal that you're not going to be satisfied with the results.
Estrogens can have an effect, and so going on the birth control pill for some women have an effect, but for some, nothing.
Right. It did for me for a while.
Yeah, on the pill.
And then it stopped.
Yeah, well, it's more that you sort of get used to it, and it's not that big a difference.
All right. So what's the second question?
Yeah, I was wondering. I had a crush on this guy, and he's 18 or 19, and I'm 15.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I would date him, but if I did, or, like, let's say he asked me out, would he be gross or anything? I was sort of curious.
Would he be gross?
Yeah, because everyone's like, ew, he's so much older than you, but... I don't think it's that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to... And guys that are 18 are decrepit, their balls are dragging, they're crapping a bag.
He would be gross.
You see an 18-year-old dude naked?
It's gross.
Gray pubes, saggy skin hanging off them.
No, I swear to God, I would never...
Creep. It's grotesque. 18.
Give her some advice. Remember, we were just saying, teach her what an 18-year-old guy would be looking for in a 15-year-old and what kind of guy that would be.
But I want to wait till I'm married.
All right, but just listen to Missy, all right? Listen.
Okay.
He would be wanting to have sex with you.
That's really
what he would be wanting.
But he seems really sweet to me.
They all seem really sweet.
No, but can I tell you what happened, please?
No. Because listen, it doesn't matter.
When you get older, you'll find that timeshare salesmen seem really nice.
Yeah, and here's the deal. If a 19-year-old, and we know for sure he wants to have sex with you, for sure.
Okay.
And a 19-year-old that is interested in a 15-year-old.
He's 18. He's 18. Don't keep
mad. Well, he's 18 or 19. He was 18 in November.
What does he do? Is he in college?
He's a lifeguard.
He's a lifeguard.
Oh, they only want to have...
No, he's so good looking.
Is he out of high school?
Yeah, he dropped out, but he's in junior college. And
No. Stay away. Kick him to the curb.
Okay, I'll ask you a really quick question also about him.
He's going to get that zinc all over you when he performs oral.
No.
You get that white stripe right up your belly.
No, I'm a very... I've never had a boyfriend. I'm very good.
That's good.
Okay,
stay that
good.
Way. There you go. All right.
Can I ask you my really quick question?
Yes.
Okay, so he was supposed to give me a lesson this morning, and he stood me up.
What kind of lesson?
Swimming. And he was doing it for free, even though I offered to pay.
Oh, yeah.
And
the reason he stood you up is there are other adults present, and he thought better of it.
He stood me up, and...
He didn't stand you up. He thought better of the illegal actions he was sort of contemplating.
But then, and so I called his house, because the lady there told me to, and it sounded like he picked up, and then he gave it to his brother or something, and then he was like, he's not here.
All right, well, maybe he's not interested, but...
And maybe he's a real ass.
And why do you need swimming lessons at 15?
Because I was really bored, and I thought he was cute, and he was my old swim coach, so I was bored, and I asked him.
All right. But you know how to swim, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Nice racing.
Okay. All right. Look, he's too old for you.
He's too old.
He's an ass.
Also, I don't...
Hold on.
He stood you up. He stood you up. There's just... You need to...
Wait a minute. He's not a... Hold on a second. Hold on. He's not an ass. He's a lifeguard. A 15-year-old girl said, you want to give me a swim lesson? And he decided maybe this isn't a good plan. Then she called to his house, and he passed the phone off. Maybe he's a decent guy. He's not trying to get in her pants.
All right, maybe.
If he'd picked up the phone and said, meet me somewhere for drinks and we'll talk about swimming, that's a different guy. This guy's trying to avoid her.
All right, maybe.
What do you mean, maybe? He didn't show up at the thing, and when she called his house, he passed the phone off.
Well, let's find out how. You want to keep going with this thing?
Well, I'm just saying why.
Find out how he made the arrangements with the lesson. Did she come up and say, please, please, please? Or did he come down?
She said that she thought he was cute.
And he came
on
down, started
bored.
Talking to her and said, hey, how'd you like a lesson?
Drew, if he's trying to F her, he would have met her. You idiot. How dare you? Where are we, Drew?
We're
6, and we got to go to break.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Whose idea was it to do the swimming lessons?
Well, he told me... No, what happened was I went up to him, and I was like, you know, my swimming's been really bad. I wonder if you could help me, and I'd pay you. And he goes, no, please don't pay me. And I was like, well, anyway, just help me because it would help my self-confidence. He goes, oh, you're really sweet. You shouldn't have self-confidence problems. And we said the swimming thing today, and I came there, and he wasn't there.
All right. He's 19. He's not interested in a 15-year-old.
He was just being nice.
He was just being nice to a kid, and he didn't want to do anything.
And when you're 15, you take everything personally.
All right. But, you know, gross. Mizzy Pyle is our guest tonight. She's currently in the number one box office hit. Third week in a row, bringing down the house. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mizzy Pyle is our guest tonight.
Yeah.
I was sure Missy was black before she came in here. I was looking at this last night. I said,
is that true?
Yeah. Bringing down...
That's what a big star I am. Everybody knows.
Bringing down the house. She's in Bringing Down the House, and then Missy Pyle, I thought, that's a big, sassy black woman, like long nails, and snap all this, and snap that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's a big, fat black woman who likes being big and fat, or at least sounds like it. You know what I mean?
Missy Pyle?
Yeah, Missy Pyle. That's sassy Missy Pyle. She's going to come out with a line of clothing for plus-size ladies. And it's just a little cushion in the pushing and all those kind of mm-hmm. euphemisms that I'm not sure if they actually believe. But I was completely prepared for that. And I apologize because now I recognize you from Galaxy Quest and Josie and the Pussycats and other endeavors like that. But I was just, I don't know if there's a movie where it's like, it has a black theme and an actress or actors coming in. Mm-hmm. You just do the black math. You know what I'm saying? Drew, Missy Pyle, you thought was black, right?
Did you think I was black, too? My inner child is black.
Yeah, we did the math.
So that's, it was just miscalculation.
But we're pleasantly surprised.
Oh, well. See, how do you even recover from that?
You know my old African-American patients used to call the Piles.
What's the piles is what? Is that when you got diarrhea?
That's a disease. That's a
hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids. Yeah.
It just keeps getting better.
Well, you know what? They must call them the piles because it's like pile drive, like what a pure pile on. Like you got a pile coming out of your ass.
I have no idea why they call it a pile.
Well, you know what a pile is?
Yeah, but
a pile driver.
Yeah, it's. No, it's okay. They're stacked in.
All right, buddy. I don't know what hemorrhoids look like.
Sake. You don't?
No.
What'd you ask?
I thought I had a hemorrhoid once, but it was a carbuncle.
Yeah, I know.
$8 worth of Preparation H on that goddamn thing. Marcus? Okay, Marcus?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah?
Okay. I recently started kind of going out with this girl. It's not really going out, but we hang out a lot, and I take her out on dates and stuff. And we hooked up for the first time, I think it was last Tuesday, and I was like fingering her and stuff because we've kissed before, but this time, like, you know, I was like finger banging her.
How old is she?
And I felt, how old is she? She's 18.
All right.
And this is more for Dr. Drew because I felt like a little nub. I swear to God, it felt like a little nub inside.
That's a pile.
All right. Marcus.
You banged her pile.
I know.
Pile like, driver. Yes.
Like girls, when they get like aroused or whatever, like their clitoris gets like.
Your clitoris is not inside the vagina, though, Marcus.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring.
All right. Hey, Drew, don't ever cut our listeners off when they're stupid and they're trying to explain what goes on in the vagina. It's always entertaining. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, go ahead, Marcus. I'm sorry.
I go to junior college.
Mm. Ooh, shocking.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what's up?
I was just wondering what that was because I've never felt that before, like in another girl.
Inside?
It was like inside, about my index finger length.
Drew,
the full length of your index finger?
Yeah.
At the tip?
That was her cervix.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's that cervix feel like?
Like you're hitting something.
Yeah, like I could like hit it with my finger and like go up and down on it.
That's cervix.
okay.
All right. Good. God willing, your penis will feel that one day.
Hopefully.
All right, there, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, good times, right?
All right, thanks.
All right.
God willing.
You want to know what that was up there?
Yeah. I can't tell if Missy is amused by you or just had a complete total assful of you.
No.
I can't tell what it is.
She's got it pretty bad for me.
Really? I don't think. Yeah. I'm not sure that's what's happening.
No, I think it is. Yeah. I think she's.
Why do I keep having the image of her standing up and kicking you in the face? It just
that's
that
Tybo. That's the Tybo thing we're talking about.
Okay, here we go.
Missy, what do you say? Are you 6 foot tall? You're tall.
I'm 6 feet tall, yeah.
6 feet tall. And wearing clogs.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see guys with clogs?
Yeah.
It's so gay. I don't care. You know, guys are like, too, they make that argument. They make it with the man purse, too. It's like, you go, dude, why are you wearing a man purse? And like, I can keep all my... Yeah, I know you can. You could carry just a frilly satchel with flowers on it and keep everything in there, but you don't. You don't. And like, clogs are great. They're comfortable. You kick them off. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'd walk around with like PJs with feet built into them if I was secure enough, but you look like an idiot. You know any guys who wear clogs?
I actually bought these for my husband.
Oh!
But he
didn't wear them?
That he said?
For him.
I bought them for him, but we have the same size.
He doesn't wear them, though, right?
No, he gave them to me.
Smart. See, that's good. That's a good instinct.
Right. He was not pleased.
Because he's wearing, what, they didn't go with his gauchos, or he just didn't like them?
I think he was just a little horrified.
Good. That's a good instinct, right?
I think so.
That's good. But, okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, he doesn't wear
those. They're still very comfortable, though.
That's what they say. Of course, I'm never going to find out because of how gay they look.
You probably have a pair of clogs.
No, I do not.
I bet you do.
Drew, have you ever seen a pair of clogs?
No.
No, and
he's got other weird stuff, but not clog.
And I would like to be a clog guy because you kick them on and kick them off, and as we know, we rarely dress show.
Are you wearing shoes?
I'm wearing shoes tonight because I went to dinner.
Okay.
It's very rare that I'm wearing.
These are dress shoes here, those.
I'm dressed up.
Beautiful. They're tennis shoes there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful.
So your husband didn't wear clogs?
He doesn't wear the clogs.
Smart.
Missy's got better radio instincts than we do. She had expressed to the audience what we were looking at.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, look at the shoes he's wearing, you know.
And he doesn't wear Birkenstocks, does he? Uh-oh.
No, he doesn't. But the one thing that he does do, and I've noticed this since we got married, is he wears Tevas, but he wears, like, socks with his Tevas.
What do the Tevas look like?
Tevas are the shoes with the straps, the Velcro straps.
No.
And because, you know what I'm talking about, like, you can wear them in the water when you
all-terrain sandals.
What
does he do for a living?
He's a storyteller.
At Disneyland or something?
No.
He's a wizard.
He's a magical wizard, and he wears a little hat.
Yeah, what does he do? He's not good enough for you. I don't trust this guy.
He's a storyteller. He's
a
writer.
Oh, no. You're bringing home all the money. He's just sitting home not wearing his clogs and writing. No, you deserve better. Ryan?
He's probably listening. He's going to come and kick your ass.
That's where that image is coming from.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Listen, you're bigger than he is. He can't be that big. You're wearing his shoes.
That's because they were too small for him.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're creating some kind of super race.
Yeah. I know. Is he a big guy? You guys can have some, like, big Aryan kids. Although he's a writer. He's not Aryan.
No, he's half Cuban.
Oh, zesty. I like that in a man.
Spicy.
Ryan?
Yeah.
You're 21. Well, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to say you guys are, like, your show is great.
Great.
Adam Mancho, best show on television, man.
Thank you.
Seriously. All right, well, my question is, I have this girlfriend that I've been going out for about 6 months now. I love her to death. But she has this boyfriend she broke up with a year and a half ago. They were going out for about 3 years. And the guy just, like, won't leave her alone. Like, he's always around.
Yeah, because she keeps talking to him.
Well, she calls the house, like, all the time, and she says she's hanging the phone. I've been with her.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the phone from her and, like, you know, cussed him out.
Right.
But this guy, like, will just sit in front of her house, like, all night, you know?
Really?
He's broken into her house.
Oh, boy.
And they've been broken up for how long?
Year and a half.
You called the police?
She says the police won't do anything.
Have you called the police?
No, I haven't called the police personally, no.
Has she called the police?
She's called the police, well, 5 times.
And what do they say?
Well, they got to wait till somebody kills somebody to really
do it. Does he just sit there? I mean, what does he do?
He just stalked her. He's broken into her house before. They don't believe her.
Didn't they advise her to get a restraining order?
I've talked to her about it, too, you know, and she's, like, so afraid to get a restraining order against
this
guy.
Why?
apparently he used to beat her when they were going to get when they were going out.
Yeah, right. And here's the question.
This is either bogus or something's not working for here.
Well, okay.
No, I swear to God, it's not bogus.
All right. I believe Ryan. I also believe that there's a part of her that's dancing with him just a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Oh, absolutely. That was the other, yeah.
Well, here's how you know, because she was victimized.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody beat her growing up. I'm sure her dad's a prick. So she hooked up with this guy, and even though she does want to get rid of him, and that's what she says to you, there's a part of her that dances with him just a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I've had doubts, you know, since the very beginning of the relationship. But, I mean, the way she talks about him, she talks about him like she's scared to death, you know?
Yeah. Well, she is. I'm sure that's legitimate, but it's also compelling.
See, she's scared of him the way she was scared of the dad that used to beat her.
Well,
and that's that's what she's attracted to. That increases her need for attachment.
Her dad killed himself when she was young.
Well, yeah. She probably is also afraid this guy's going to do that if she leaves him. Which,
How old was she when her dad killed himself?
I don't know, around 11. But you know, my dad killed himself too, and I don't have problems. You know, really. I don't think.
Really?
Yeah. My dad was a drug addict, you know.
Wow. All right. Yeah. And you're not physically abusive with her?
No, never.
You're a nice guy.
I never touch a woman.
How old is she?
She's 19.
All right. She is maintaining this relationship with this guy. This is why I'm feeling in the bogus feel, because part of the story is missing, and he's missing it. He's not getting it.
Well, here's how we know. Because her dad was abusive before he kicked off. We're sure of it. And now she hooked up with an abusive guy, and she can't get rid
of
him.
Can't let go of that. Plus, in the fantasy, he'll kill himself if she does truly let him go, so she keeps dancing.
And if it's truly been a year and a half of no contact, just hanging up the phone every time he calls or calling the cops when he shows up, he's not going on for 18 months.
No.
Well, I mean, they were together after they broke up still for like a year, you know.
There's stuff. I'm not saying she's having sex with him.
No, I'm not.
But she has a relationship with him.
I'm just saying there's a dance that she's doing with him that's keeping him in motion.
Yep.
I understand why he's in motion. I mean, this guy's like, my girlfriend's gorgeous, and this guy's tragic. You know?
Yeah. Be that as it may, listen.
Yeah, Ryan's going to have trouble hearing you.
Yeah, you're not getting this, Ryan, so we might as well.
I don't know. Ryan.
No, I've heard it before, like I said. You know, I mean, I have my doubts, too. And
No, listen. And then I'm hanging up on you. We're not saying that she's carrying on with him in a sexual way or even in a way that would resemble a relationship. What we are saying is that she's a victim. He's a victimizer. As scared as she is of him, there's a part of her that's sort of compelled to continue a strange sort of dance with him.
A connection. Rather than make the complete disconnect, which is what the only thing that will end this.
If he was doing this to Missy, Missy would find a way to cut him off completely, and he would be done with.
Yes.
She, a year and a half later, has not found a way to do that, and that means there's some small part of her that's still connecting with him.
And there are two reasons for that.
And you're obsessed with her being hot and him being a loser and this kind of stuff.
That has nothing to do with it. There's two things. One is she has a fantasy that he will kill himself, which may be an accurate fantasy if she does completely disconnect from him. And secondly, she's kind of attracted to all this chaos.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's always this part of you that, you know, that you hold back. I mean, you never know everything about the person that you're with, and you know, you only know what they want you to know. So,
and Ryan is a nice guy, and he's going to save his girl. And his girl likes a little chaos.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't like things smooth.
Of course.
Everybody, you got somebody who's got chaos in their life. It's because they want it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They may not want it on a real conscious level, but there's a part of them that is keeping it alive. Because when you truly don't want something, you don't have it.
You don't do it.
I think it's because you just feel more comfortable with it. You know what I mean? Because it's, yeah, because especially if you grew up with it, it's what you know. So then you.
It's what you're attracted to.
Yeah. It transcends like and dislike. It's just that's it. That's all you know.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a little break. Mr. Pyle's here from Bringing Down the House, and we'll be right back. Missy Pyle is our guest tonight. She is from Bringing Down the House, and you may know her as one of the more attractive aliens from Galaxy Quest and No, which one from Josie and the Pussycats? No, not Veronica.
Alexandra.
Alexandra, yeah, the mean one.
Yeah.
Yeah, one with the black hair and the skunk stripe down it. Yeah, that movie did well, right?
Josie and the Pussycats?
Yeah.
Sadly, no, it didn't do so well, no. I mean, it did okay.
Heard enough about it before it came out.
Yeah, it was got a huge publicity push beforehand, and it only made like $6 million opening weekend, I think.
Doesn't everything, though, sort of make its money back eventually? Like, when sell it to airplanes and then ancillary markets and, you know, DVDs and all that stuff?
Yeah, and then they sell it overseas, and by the time... I mean, yeah, they all are going to make their money eventually because it just keeps going and going and going. It can...
Yeah.
I saw some movie on a bus in Mexico with Rick Schroeder. It was post Silver Spoons, pre NYPD Blue, and I just thought it was, you know, it was
that's
dubbed.
That's about 30-year span, post Silver Spoons, pre. What was it?
I have no idea. I mean, it was just some, you know, I mean, all those movies get sold anywhere. I mean, so, you know, I'm driving on a bus in Mexico.
Why are you on a bus in Mexico?
We were going from Mexico City to Oaxaca, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, Adam?
That's why.
I see. You're traveling in
Mexico. I was traveling.
I understand.
In Mexico.
All right. And they have movies on the Mexican buses.
Well, they'll have a little movie going. You can't really hear anything. It's dubbed in Spanish, but
Mm-hmm.
At least on this particular bus. I don't want to speak for all the buses in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to give those Mexican buses a bad rap.
I really don't.
Yeah, you don't want to burst the bubble. That people have a picture in their head of a Mexican bus.
Oh, absolutely.
And let's not ruin it. We have a lot of young people
I feel bad that I've done
it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very fascinated.
Adam?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Basically, I just found out I had cancer in one of my lymph nodes, my left lymph node.
Hmm. In your neck?
What?
In your neck?
In my neck, yeah.
Do you know what kind of cancer?
No, I don't really remember, but basically my question is, I've been going out with this girl for about 3 years, and as soon as she found out I had cancer, she didn't want nothing to do with me, like, she wouldn't call me, nothing like that. I just want to know what you guys thought.
Did you first turn your radio down?
Yeah.
Or tell your friend to turn it down.
Or the group of friends.
Turn the radio down.
Yeah, the group of friends listening.
And doesn't sound right.
I know. What kind of cancer was it?
It was like throat cancer. I don't know.
No.
They took a chunk out of my lymph node.
No.
And it's like a 2-centimeter cut on.
Why don't you know what kind of cancer you have?
Because I don't care about it. They told me I don't really have to worry about it. It's only like a 5% chance of dying, so.
I don't know what you mean. It was in your skin?
It was on my lymph node, and they just... It was inside it, and they cut it.
All right, so you had a lump. You went to the doctor. They took out a piece to have it biopsied, and your girlfriend stopped talking to you.
Yeah, because they told me it was cancer.
Why didn't they treat the cancer?
I have to go to chemo for about a month.
What are they treating you with?
Going to chemo, getting radiation. They gave me some pills.
Is it Hodgkin's disease?
I don't think so. I don't know.
True. Don't you wish all your patients didn't sweat the details?
Yeah, it would be
like
nice,
Adam?
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, look how dangerous it is. You walk to your car, you can get ran over by a mailbox or something, you know?
That happens to me a lot.
You're
not
thinking.
A mailbox, but like a
my
mailbox.
Dad went that way.
Yeah.
Right.
He mailbox. Was just heading out to the car.
A mailbox.
I ran, ironically, out to check the mail, and the box took him out.
Exactly.
It's tough.
Well,
I also
it's happened to a lot of my friends.
I had a family member that was killed by a photomat.
I know, me too.
Just walked out to the parking lot, and photomat ran him over, and I had an ant go by a flagpole attack there.
After they did the lymph node biopsy, what kind of testing did you have done to figure out how far this cancer had progressed?
They put me in one of those, what is it? They call it a...
Mailbox?
No, not a mailbox.
I'm out of ideas.
It's like a... X-ray thing?
CAT scan?
Yeah, CAT scan.
And do you know, so you were stage 2 or a stage 3?
I think they said it was a stage 2 or something like that.
Okay, alright.
Alright, well listen, Ann, let's address your girlfriend for a second here.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
You guys have been together for 3 years.
Yeah, and we've been through a lot together.
You've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And she decided to dump you when she found out you had cancer.
Yeah, well she hasn't dumped me, she just doesn't talk to me.
I'm going to go ahead and classify that as being dumped.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, I'm guessing that she... You sound a little depressed.
Oh, yeah. Well, but justifiably so. I
mean, justifiably so. And it just sounds like the relationship ran its course and that she was probably done.
Well, not really, because, I mean, before I went into the doctor, I mean, we were engaged. I had a ring for her and stuff.
This is not making sense, Adam. This is not fitting.
She's just not talking to you.
You need to make contact. I can't imagine that she is so freaked out by you having a disease that is curable that she would immediately end contact.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand.
Yeah, I would find a way to sit down and have a chat with her because it makes me worry that she's got a brain tumor. So, I mean, the behavior is so completely nonsensical.
She got ran over by a mailbox.
A mailbox, yeah.
Yeah, just, mailbox.
Nothing is making sense here. I don't know. I'm glad
Here's the deal. Adam doesn't sound like he cares that much.
About her?
I don't care about my
cancer. He doesn't care about his cancer. He doesn't care about her. He doesn't really seem to care about anything. He sounds a little depressed. And you're 18. You're out of high school. You're thinking
Why
about junior college or yeah,
college? No.
No. All right. So, yes. Why are you getting married at 18? I don't know. I have trouble attacking people who have cancer, so I'm going to let Adam go. But she's breaking up. I don't know what the reasons are. I don't think Adam could express those to us.
So try talking to her.
We would need a lot more information, but he needs more information too. So
liar, whore.
You know, it's just some guys aren't nuanced guys. Well, you know, he doesn't sweat the details.
Like whether day or night.
Whatever.
All right, so she's breaking up. Fine, find a new girl. We'll be back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Missy Pyle is our guest tonight.
Hello there.
She is from Bringing Down the House, the new movie with Queen Latifah and Steve Martin. Number one, last 3 weeks running.
3 weeks in a row.
And no reason why it's not going to be number one this week as well. What's coming out? Phone Booth?
The Core.
The Core. Yeah, I could see myself seeing The Core. They're going down to the center of the earth.
Yeah, but do you really want to see that right now?
No.
No. You want to see Bringing Down the House.
No, but I want to see Head of State.
Oh, yeah, that looks funny.
No, it doesn't look like
yes,
hell.
It does. It looks
no,
funny.
What happened to Chris
funny.
Rock? The only thing white is the house.
I know, but it looks...
Yeah, but he didn't come up with that.
No, but I mean, do we really want to see, like, people in their 60s dancing, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your...
I like Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I like Bernie Mac, too.
Very funny.
Well, Bernie Mac and Chris Rock, but... Here's what we were talking about this at work. When do you lose your genius status? I mean, if you're Chris Rock.
Mm.
How many crappy movies you got to crank out before you slide from just genius to, like, super talent?
It depends how much money they make.
I guess so. Yeah. But, I mean, amongst the fans. But I don't know. I don't know. And maybe you want to see it?
Do I want to see it?
You want to see Head of State?
Yeah, I do want to see it. I like Chris Rock a lot, though.
I do, too, but after you keep cranking out crap, don't eventually got to be held accountable?
I don't know that... I don't know that he's the greatest actor. I think he's a great
Maybe that's
comedian.
It. All right, well, let's do that, then.
So,
let's support his stand-up. All right. We'll do that. We're going to go out and watch Chris Rock.
Although I'm a big fan of Chris Rock, so I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but his movies are pretty sucky.
His movies have not been that great.
Right.
But I think he's a genius. I just don't know that
genius. He just can't make a good movie. But let me say this. Here's what I want to say.
I want to
say this about Nicolas Cage and John Travolta and a lot of these guys.
You gotta stop.
Nicolas Cage does Leaving Las Vegas, gets an Oscar, I think, or at least nominated.
He was nominated.
Everyone heaps the praise on him. Fine. Good movie, good role, good actor. Hey, listen, you know, I saw Raising Arizona, one of my favorite movies, and the guy was spectacular in it. Then he goes on to do 15 horrible movies, including, you know, Gone in 60 Seconds and stuff like this. And John Travolta.
Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
John Travolta, same kind of thing. Does a couple of cool movies, Pulp Fiction, that sort of thing, and then just does a whole, you know, Broken Arrow and that kind of stuff. Don't we have to hold him accountable by movie 11 that sucks? Like, you know, we're still riding the genius from 11 years ago? Like, you've just done 11 crappy movies in a row. We're not allowed to say anything about that? He's a genius.
No, but I don't think people say that he's a genius. I just think people are afraid to you know, bank on anybody else.
All right.
Because I feel like a few people will go see it.
But out of the last, here's what I'm saying. John Travolta, Nicolas Cage.
Right.
Their last combined 25 movies, there's been three good ones
right.
out of the 25. That's not a great batting average. And there are people out there that seem to do kind of consistently solid stuff, like, you know, John Cusack or something does pretty consistent, interesting movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean every single one of them's a work art, but if he does a movie, you go see it, right?
But it's like they crank them out too. It's not like it's not like they take a break. It's like they just keep going and going and going, and they're not good.
All right, but that's just more of an argument for why we should be angry at these guys. Like, look, you're talented, you're better than this. B, you got tons and tons of money. What are you doing? Slow it down. Pick your scripts. Do something decent. All right. And then he did, you know, Adaptation, and that's supposed to be real good. So
do you see any movies?
No, I don't see much.
Clearly,
but it doesn't stop me from critiquing them. I can tell you how Boat Trip's going to turn out. Oh,
I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, and that's everything. I forgot what's going on with Cuba Gooding Jr. Like, here he's doing great movies, doing crap, getting nominated, doing Snow Dogs. Like, well, what's going on with this guy? He's got a gambling problem, or like,
I think maybe. I think it's just about like people just spend too much money.
Is that what
it
is?
They just got to have some more. They just got it. They got. It's like they got.
Remember Alec Baldwin
told
us this.
What'd he tell us?
He was saying that he had gone through prayers, but he calls his agent. I got to have another $1 million. You got to get me.
I
think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Do you own a ranch in Ojai?
That's Alec Baldwin. All right, let's take ourselves. But he's got dignity, that Alec Baldwin, because he goes and does these low-budget movies.
He crapped in the bed.
He hasn't continued to chase after money like that, but he says he's gone through. He said he shocked himself by going through periods where that was the case.
Listen, I'm just jealous, but I still no need for Con Air
Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Never saw it.
I think
was it bad?
Men,
did you see it?
Well, it was with Penelope Cruz, and I think people just wanted. Do a love scene with Penelope Cruz. That's
really?
What I think.
Not good, huh?
I don't even know. I couldn't even watch the previews.
You know.
It was painful.
I didn't like Adaptation.
Uh-oh. Well, Drew, you're Squaresville then, buddy. Because everyone else seemed to like that.
You know why I didn't like it? Because it was not true. Humans don't behave like any of the people in that movie.
It
was not even remotely close to human reality.
Uh-oh. Overrated.
I just thought it was kind of a cop-out.
Completely distracting to me when things are not close to reality.
Right.
It's
guy couldn't adapt the movie, so then he made the movie about himself not being able to adapt it. And
right. So I thought it was a cop-out. All right, I've never seen it, but so I can't comment on it. Unlike
I've never
read
a movie,
State.
So I shouldn't be.
You could if you wanted to, sweetie. You could do anything
right.
you set
Thanks,
your mind
thanks,
to.
Thanks, baby.
Skylar?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
My mom doesn't think I'm a virgin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I am.
You are. Well, show her your hymen.
What?
Why doesn't she think you're a virgin?
Oh, I don't. She found a note that my ex wrote me.
Mm-hmm.
About us grinding, and so she thinks that I'm like.
What did the note say?
Just a bunch of stuff, like it was on a Wednesday when my parents weren't home, and he came over early to help us move, and on the note it was talking about how we started grinding, and then my mom got a hold of it.
But maybe mom doesn't care that there wasn't an insertion. Maybe she just freaked out that you were that sexual with him.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Were you guys, did the note say you were naked?
Oh, no. I'm determined to stay a virgin until I'm married.
Oh, okay. Your mom believes you. She's just saying that. She's just putting the heat on you.
Well, and I started dating my other ex.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all really protective about it and won't let me go over to his house or hang out with him or anything.
Because she thinks you're going to have sex with him?
I don't know.
This is not the organ grinder. Get it, Drew?
What, very fun.
Thank
you. What is it about this new guy? Oh, new old guy. Old new guy.
Well, I went out with him first.
Yeah, but is there a reason?
Hold on. I'm going to do the math. Start dating my old boyfriend. Yeah, what is it about him that's different? I went out with him first.
No. It's,
right. Old boyfriend.
What is it about him that might bother your mom?
Nothing.
All
right. Your mom's protective.
He doesn't have black fingernail polish?
No, I don't. I'm like...
Him. Your ex-new boyfriend.
Huh? He's not my new boyfriend. We're just dating.
All right. Listen, we no longer care. Here's the deal. Your mom believes you. She's just putting the pressure on.
Okay.
And listen, and you know, you can tell people, I mean, you have no, here's all you can do with people. You can tell them the truth or do what I do and lie and then have them believe it or not. And that's their business.
Right.
Now, if they're hammering on you, that's a different situation. But I kind of get the feeling that mom believes, but is still not wanting to let her off the hook.
Or maybe she's lied about something else in the past and then mom just doesn't buy it.
But she's saying, she's saying, I've not had sex with this guy. She's saying, I want to remain a virgin until I'm married.
Right, that's true.
I bet the mom's got to know that she hasn't gone through with this. But a lot of parents, my friend Robbie Levine, his mom would just come walking in the room every time. Yeah, Jewish mom. Come walking in the room like, who's been smoking pot? It's like, she'd do it when he wasn't home. You know, he just come bursting. Like, he could have been in summer camp for 6 months. She just come walking in the middle of the month. Who's, has someone been smoking pot? Just to see if someone would cop to it, just to see if you could get somebody to do it. That's part of good policing.
That's my plan.
Drew, that's going to be your plan,
absolutely.
Right? Right. You're gonna get like a cardboard cutout of you.
Yep.
And you're going to put on a track.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to slide in. It's going to be like something from the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Or the Haunted Mansion. Yeah,
more like a shooting gallery.
Door opens. Yeah. Drew slides in, and a synthesized voice says, who's been smoking pot? I smell pot. Who's been having sex? And then slides back, and the door shuts.
Yeah.
That's going to be in front of all your kids' rooms?
In each door in the house, yeah.
And how often is that going to go off?
Every 45 minutes.
45?
Yeah.
I was thinking 45.
Some shorter, some longer. It's, you know, random events.
So you're saying like it'll be 3 a.m., you'll slide in.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Who's been smoking pot?
Oh, yeah.
Who's been having sex?
And then
again at 3:45 a.m., who's been smoking?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll custom make them like for the boys, stop smacking your meat. Who's been smoking pot?
Stop
and sliding meat. And slide back out again.
You love this idea. This is genius, huh?
Drew, you can go out of town for months.
Keep the police ring up.
The animatronic Drew just keeps sliding in and out. They're scared to leave the room, right? Because they can't get past you.
That's right.
Door keeps going open.
They'll never get it.
Oh, this is great. Tiffany?
Yes?
You're 22?
I am.
What's up?
I just had a quick question. I am a dancer, and I don't want to be. I've tried to stop before, and I always seem to go back. And yep. I have my own opinions of why I think I do that, but
why?
It's always better to get your opinion.
What are your opinions?
When I was younger, I was really in a strict religious household, and I was a very ugly kid, unfortunately, and I got teased a lot for being ugly, and I think I might get affirmation through being a dancer and having men desire me, if you will.
How ugly could you have been when you're a kid that you took abuse to the point where you're now actually attractive enough to make money dancing naked?
Well, isn't this a story we hear from every model?
Well, you thought you were ugly because your parents beat you over the head with a Bible.
I don't know.
But I mean,
I'm pretty busted. I don't know.
You really were. What happened to you? You get plastic surgery?
No,
it's
just
a lot of women.
Developed. Yeah. I got breasts and I got rid of braces and rid of glasses and learned how to do my hair and things like that.
All right. So, are you dancing full nude or topless?
Full nude and at bachelor parties.
Oh, bachelor parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yeah, so you're doing Feed the Kitty and Around the World and all that stuff.
Wow, I'm pretty impressed there. That's pretty good.
Well,
you're impressed
that
he would know?
I know. Well, should I be surprised? Really? No.
You know what? There's got to be more than what you've told us so far.
Yeah.
What else do you need to know?
More trauma.
Because that was my childhood.
I don't know. I left my house. I ran away when I was 17, and I needed money, and so I started doing this.
All right. Well, people only run away from homes where kids run away and stay away from homes where they're being abused. So what was the abuse?
The abuse, I think, wasn't physical or sexual, but it was definitely just mental. If you don't abide by our rules, I was a stupid teenager, basically, and I was going to show them.
I wound up paying the price. Parents were very religious and dominating. Drew, you say this all the time, but I'm telling you, my sister ran away without being abused. It's just crappy.
Did
parents.
She stay away?
No. She came back to borrow money from me for a down payment, and then she left again. But no, she came back at a certain point. But Drew always says kids only run away when they're physically or sexually abused, and I agree with him 90% of the time. But once in a while, there's super rebellious teen meets really crappy parent. And the kid runs away.
Really crappy parent.
Yeah.
But so it still needs to be more trauma described, though, like really checked out abandonment or
well,
so overt
she, you took off when you were 17, right?
Right.
A lot of people, that's not 14.
That's not
14.
12.
That's
yeah,
not
you're
12.
Right. You're right. That's right.
So your dad was thumping the Bible and all uptight,
I mean,
and you were really rebellious, and you just had an ass full, and you took off, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, baby, I know what it's like.
There's some kind of power that you get, too. You must like that when you're dancing, right?
Yeah, I hate to admit it, though, because it's such a weakness, but...
Why is it a weakness?
No, it's not a weakness. For me, it's the only time I feel free is when I'm dancing.
But the problem is that the women that get into this,
can't kind, make any money.
This kind of cycle no. Hate the men for participating with them in this. But what?
It's really bad for me. It's abusive, too, because, of course, I get fondled, I get groped. I mean...
Right. You're reenacting some kind of experience of powerlessness and abuse, and I'm trying to figure out where the depth of this was experienced in your childhood.
Well, the bachelor party thing, that's heavy.
It's usually... I mean, your relationships are probably super chaotic, and right?
Yeah, you can't maintain a relationship because all men think that you're...
No, you can't maintain a relationship because you're screwed up, not because all men think you're whatever. Please.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
That's all right. All right. Well, listen, you're not as screwed up as maybe you think you are because you admit readily to being screwed up.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to put a silver lining here.
Spin on it.
All right. So, Tiffany, you have to extricate yourself from this lifestyle.
Exactly.
Have you any treatment?
No, that's what I was going to ask your opinion. I've thought about therapy, but I didn't know if they would tell me things I already know. I already know these things. You know, it's like what?
Therapy is not about telling you anything. Therapy is about learning new ways to experience yourself in relation to another person. Experience, not think, not sort of have knowledge about it. Have emotional experiences of the self in relation to other.
How much do you make at a bachelor party?
I make about $300 to $500 an hour.
Yeah. Under the table, and dancing. What do you make on a good night?
About $1,000 to $1,200 a night.
Boom. Wow. Have you
ever had any addictions or anything?
Any addiction? No, I don't even smoke weed or anything. In fact, I have a regular job in which I make enough money to live. I sold insurance, and I work like 2 hours away. That way I won't have to worry about it.
Wait a minute. Have we spoken to you before?
Nope. My very first time calling.
I knew it. I always get a feeling when it's the first time caller, Drew. You see that? All right, so look, you have a job that can support your life without this.
But I quit it, and I...
All right, but the point is you know how to work in a place where you keep your panties on, right?
Yes.
All right, find one of those jobs. Don't spend your money on anything crazy. Here's the thing. You can strip for 3 more months. You must feverishly sock away money, and in that time, find a legitimate daytime job and some counseling.
All right.
Then you can move forward,
You're going to need some treatment. I think there's a personality disorder here, and it's going to take a lot of time to kind of sort this out.
All right. Let's not cure every stripper, Drew.
Sorry.
Understand?
Still, there was something really missing with the trauma there. It may not have been the usual kinds of traumas we're used to hearing about, but there was something really profound, profoundly traumatizing about her family.
I mean, the hyper-religious parents can freak a kid out,
but it must have been really freakishly aggressive.
Well, you know, I wonder if it had to do, you know, because I think what drives people to perform in any way is like not getting any attention. I mean, or people that don't listen, or
no, they have to be traumatized.
Yeah,
pretty much always.
What happened to you, Missy?
Well,
you have religious parents.
I do. Yeah. Very
domineering.
Religious. Yeah.
What religion?
Southern Baptist.
Oh man, that's trouble.
Yeah.
And what'd they do? They try to ram that religion up your tuchus?
Well, something like that. No, it's just...
You rebelled?
I never really did, and I wonder if that's kind of what it is. Do you then have to rebel at some point? Because I find myself sort of rebelling now.
Are you religious?
Not really, no.
Uh-uh. Do your parents know that you're not religious?
Yeah, they do. Nobody wants to talk about it, really, but they'll slip Jesus into the conversation subtly.
Yeah.
You know, or...
What do you mean rebelling now? What kind of stuff do you do?
Well, bringing down the house, stuff like that.
How did this happen?
What happened? What's going on, baby? Open up now. Come on.
Oh, God.
You can talk. It's just us.
Well, I'm curious because I have a feeling it's going to be nothing much.
Probably not.
Yeah, because this is not, as you're seeing... What you know, being raised in a very religious family and feeling smothered and being intruded upon and getting away from that and establish your own life, normal. not doing what Tiffany did.
No,
so
definitely
that's why
not.
I'm going after. That's why I'm saying Tiffany must have some profound attachment problems, some real serious traumas, and she couldn't quite articulate where that had happened. May not be aware. Some of these things, traumas, are just leave implicit wiring on the brain,
right.
And then that gets sort of acted out. But that all needs to be sorted out in treatment. So.
All right. Well, you know, it takes all kinds. Good times. That's why I make the big bucks. Ray?
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yep.
All of your little aphorisms.
You're 36. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, Adam. Love the man show.
Thanks.
Question is for the doc. I've been married to my wife for 12 years. We've been together 15. When I met her, she had two daughters, my two stepdaughters, who I subsequently adopted them. And we have two other boys besides them. I've been finding lately, like the last month and a half, maybe 2 months, that my 16-year-old, I get this feeling that she's becoming more and more flirtatious with me, and I'm beginning to get uncomfortable with it, and I don't know how to talk to her about it or even explain it to my wife.
The 6-year-old stepdaughter.
You're right. Well, yeah, I adopted them about...
Well, daughter, yeah.
How long has she been here? 10 years ago.
And your wife had two daughters by what age?
She was 19, so she had... When I met her, my oldest daughter was 4 years old, and this one was 1 year old.
So your wife's pregnant at 15?
No, my wife is 2 years older than me, so she was pregnant at 18.
Well, All right.
Right. You have a very simple job to do here, and that is just hold the boundary to stay empathically aware of what's going on with her and just be present. And you may find that when you sort of establish that boundary, she'll react maybe even hostily against it. And your job, again, is to just sort of mark those feelings.
How about a well-timed fart? That can really turn a broad off. That's happened to me more than once. You just start to feel comfortable. You let something fly, and all of a sudden they went nothing to do with you.
Well, I've noticed that. You know,
Missy's in now for you.
I'll be a little stern with her, and she'll kind of turn that attitude for me. But I'm very sensitive to discussing with my wife because my wife had some sexual abuse when she was growing up.
Yeah, and God only knows what the biological dad was all about. So, again, your job is just to maintain the boundaries. I wouldn't get into talking about
it. Here's the thing. It, as a male, and especially one who's 20 years older than her, it's not like you guys are going to go camping, she's going to pin you down or get you drunk and have sex with you. It's sort of physically impossible. So you can avoid the big confrontation.
Exactly.
You can sort of play stupid and I don't mean play stupid, but what I mean is you never get into that situation.
You don't
come out of the shower with a towel and call her in to get you a bathrobe
or
something.
Don't respond to this stuff.
Stay, just shut it down.
Yeah, you just stay present, and there may be a reaction. It may be hostile. You stay present with that too. That's your job.
The thing is too is guys and girls can steer stuff. Like you're at the office,
what you're picking up on, he's kind of ambivalent about it. He kind of wants to have the fantasy and stuff. But you know what?
He
feels guilty about
it.
Well, I think that's a lot of what happens with guys like that. But the point
really?
Is he can have the fantasy, just don't have the action. You know what I mean? It's so what?
True, I think your fantasy is doing this.
No.
Yeah? You think that your daughter's attracted to the cardboard?
No.
You smoke. So who's smoking pot in here,
what
Drew?
What I'm saying is, when God,
that would not be funny.
I think the point you're making
that
is
one?
That he has trouble shutting it down because he has all this ambivalent feelings.
No, it wasn't my point.
No, it was your point then.
My point was, people call this show. Here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people we tell, you have to confront this, you have to deal with it. Ironically, they don't want to do it. Then there's other people who call the show and says, I want to confront this, I want to deal with it, and I want to find my old mom who abandoned me, I want to tell my stepdaughter that this is strange. Those are the times you shouldn't.
Yes.
You're the dad.
Those are the times you shouldn't?
Should not. You're
okay.
The dad, she's the daughter. You act like the dad.
That's it, period.
You shut her down. You don't have to sit her down and have a sort of bizarre
right.
sexual conversation with her.
No.
You just be the dad. And like I said, a well-placed fart can go a long,
fart.
Long way.
Sure.
Long
sure
way.
Missy.
It's very
long
true.
Way. I wish I could
if
get
you
something
could,
going.
If you could do that for us, that would be really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, if you can get something going in the car with the heat on and the windows up.
My God.
That can turn a woman away from a man, right?
All the time.
Yep. You're
past the first year.
You're attracted to the guy, and then all of a sudden,
the windows
rip city.
Start
yep. Yep. You blast a good one.
Oh, man.
Am I right?
It happens all the time.
Yeah. And then if you're like me, you laugh like a hyena after your fart, and the girls get angry, and then it makes you laugh harder, and then they really get mad.
You keep laughing. Here we go. Break time.
Oh. Missy, is your husband fart around you? Yep.
Yeah, pretty
yes,
much.
He does.
Pretty much all the time.
Does he make, it's good.
It's gotten to the point where it's becoming, you know, an issue in our relationship.
It's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Is he doing movements? Is he jumping? Is he jutting out his hip?
Sometimes,
and
yeah. Sometimes he'll come in and do his body in just such a way.
Yeah. I mean, does he choreograph?
And it's choreographed. It's like a dance, and they go on and on and
on. Those guys are talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on.
I got to introduce him to my sons. This would be endless humor.
It's unbelievable.
Them.
He's a storyteller. He once, he's going to kill me, but he once farted in a class with the kids. And, like, he was on the
side. How old are the kids?
Probably, like, six. And he was like, I farted. And they lost their minds for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. When an adult in a sort of, in a position, like, that, you know, presides over the class, lets them fly. Yeah.
Right.
True. Does your wife let you break wind?
Doesn't allow. But
it happens.
It happens.
Really?
Do you choreograph, Drew?
No, I'm not into the leprechaun activity.
Not even once.
No, I'll do body movement.
Remember Elvis on stage in the Vegas days when he throw like a front ball kick and then go down with a roundhouse punch and hold it for a second?
Yeah.
That's me. I'm like Elvis when he had the cape on.
Well, my kids do that. My sons do that. Like crazy.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, that's endlessly amusing.
They'll do like a good Elvis karate move and then with the cape. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Huh?
Okay. I just asked if your wife liked it.
My wife?
She allowed it.
She's not all right. She's
I imagine there's a lot of things.
She's not great with it. No. She's all right with it. You know, there's so much good that little gas.
I know it pisses her off because when he lets a really nasty one go, she complains and he goes, "Oh, honey, you're just trying to impress me. Make me feel good."
She doesn't like when I do the fan. She doesn't like when I do the hand fan toward the face. She finds that repulsive. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Ms. Pyle is here from Bringing Down the House, and we'll be right back. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Missy Pyle is our guest tonight. She's white, and she's from Bringing Down the House. Yeah, number one movie, last 3 weeks. Did you get to work, do scenes with Steve Martin?
I did.
How
I
is
did.
He?
He's a nice guy. He's not very funny. I mean, you know, I guess everybody always thinks like Steve Martin's a funny guy, but he's very serious.
More serious.
Yeah, he's more serious.
I thought he did a good job on the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he did, too.
Yeah. All right. So I'm not funny?
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
No, we heard what you said. Okay.
He doesn't really try. Like, I worked with some other comedians. Like, worked with, like, Tim Allen, you know, and he was just always on, like, always.
Yeah, he's working. He's dancing.
He was working. He was doing a dance.
All right. So, Tim Allen, Insecure. Steve Martin, not funny. You get it?
I'm never going to work again.
So sad, Missy Pyle. Got it.
I got a card game with those guys this weekend. I'll let him
know. Please.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Alyssa, you're 14.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Sorry, I didn't know if I was going to get on.
That's all right, baby doll. What's up?
All right, sorry if my voice sounds a little echoey. The room I'm in is, like, really weird when it comes to sound and on the phone.
We're doing fine. What's up?
Does it have a toilet in it?
Huh?
Okay. I shouldn't have
said. Don't answer that.
Go ahead, baby.
All right. Like, this is just kind of, like, a career question. Because, like, I know this is, like, I'm only 14 and I really shouldn't be thinking about a career, but I like to think ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I want to go into the medical field, and I wanted to know, like, just kind of what it's like, sort of. So I kind of have a feel for it before I really
One thing that is important is to begin thinking around 14. I mean, you've got to start right away because you've got to get into the best possible college you can. You've got to kick ass when you're there, and you've got to go. I mean, it's years and years of competing and competing and competing and then applying and then competing.
Drew, so, why always with the competing with
you? Because you
why
have
is everything competition?
Not everything competition.
But whenever you talk about school, it's always competing.
Because you have to compete. Listen.
I never hear competing.
You have to get, everything's on a curve, and the people that get the A's go on, and those that don't drop out.
You got to do well. You got to do well, but you shouldn't look at other students as your competition.
What happens if you're like the lowest person, you have the lowest grade point average, and you graduate? Like, where do you work? Where can you get a job?
You clean carpets with me.
I
mean, in medical school.
Oh.
You don't go to medical school. Oh, and you're...
Yeah, like the person... Because there's got to be somebody who's at the bottom of the class.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. No.
So you get a radio show.
No.
No, he didn't.
Then you have your partner carry you through your career.
They tend to not go to the best residencies. They tend to, you know, I don't know. It's a hard thing to answer. I don't know where they end up.
You doing well in school?
I have a pretty good GPA, yeah.
Theoretically, by the time you get to medical school, everything's been pretty well screened out. And so it's more about competing for high-level specialty residency and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
it's
not about
I'm going back to the call.
Competency so much. Because competence sort of, the system makes everyone competent for the most part.
So, Alyssa, listen.
So get the best college you possibly can. That's your goal.
Yeah, but everyone hates. Drew comes in here every night complaining about being a doctor. He does. He says the HMOs are ruining it for everybody. He wants to kill Hillary Clinton. So here's what we got to do. If you keep your grades nice and high, then your options are open to go a few different directions.
That's right. Listen, but I do some speaking for a group called the Young Presidents Organization, and they have a saying. Well, some of these are very, very high powered businessmen. They own their own companies and things, and the group sort of has a saying that the
Blackie get to work.
The B's in college and business school, the B's work for the C's and the A's teach.
Mm-hmm.
So the sort of middle range people.
That means nothing to anybody.
The people that got B's in business school tend to work for the people that got C's.
He's scratching his head.
The people who got the B's work for the people who got the C's?
And then the A's teach.
Why do the C's get such a good job?
Yeah, the C's. Then you should strive for C's, right?
Well, that's just the way. Because the C's probably have sort of ADD and are creative and are not. They have trouble focusing on one thing and. It tends to be the way it works.
Well, so what are you telling Alyssa to do? Go for the C's?
Go for the C's.
I'm just saying that you asking me to sort of temper this competition message.
All right.
And that's one of the ways to temper that message. But if in terms of, you know, getting into the best schools and getting onto graduate schools, it is a highly competitive process.
All right. Competition is the American way. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I wanted to be an actress for the longest time, then reality caught up with me, and I was like, what are the odds of that?
Oh, come on.
When did reality catch up to you? You're 14.
Yeah, you got plenty of time.
Yeah, but think about it. Of all the people that, like, dream of being actors and actresses, how many of them actually get into
it? Well, here's something really smart, Alyssa, is that
80%?
You go ahead and do your education, make it as good as it possibly can be, pick up a job, and then you can also do some acting and things as an avocation to express that part of yourself.
And listen, everybody, you can be whatever you want to be as long as you set your goals pretty low. Pretty low. Yeah.
My mother-in-law likes to cut out things and send them to me. And, you know, since I was in a movie with Steve Martin, she sent me this clip that he did. And it was like, they were like, how do you make it as an actor? And his thing was, you got to be so good that they can't not notice you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that applies to it. Does that make sense?
No.
You know
what
I
mean?
Like, be so good that they can't ignore
you.
Who are they? I don't really, you know, the people that hire you.
Well, I mean,
whatever.
Be such a skilled actor, is that what you're saying?
No, just be so good. You have to, I mean, not such a skilled actor necessarily.
True, didn't you go to college?
I'm just trying to zero in on
what I'm going to say what Missy's saying.
All right.
Thank you, please do. I didn't say it.
Well, here,
I guess Steve Martin said it.
Here's the way it is. Mm. If you're sort of decent, then you enter a huge pool of decent people, and then it becomes a sort of spin of the wheel to see who gets work out of this huge pool of decent people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're incredibly talented, gifted, and you work incredibly hard, then you're in a different, much smaller pool.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
And you will work. You will always
work. Well,
people
would ask the question, how do you get into that pool?
Well, you'd be real good.
You have to be...
But that's just sort of God-given stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah. Now, here's the problem. Is people are untalented and they suck and no one tells them in this business. No one tells you to get out. No one tells you to suck. They need to do it more often. See, in sports, they weed it out.
Right.
You're like, no good. You can't play. You get on the bench. You're too short. You can't jump. You're too fat. You're too slow. We toss you out. Nobody tosses you out of this business.
Yeah, but the thing is, like you said, if you're no good, like, why do the people get the jobs? Because a lot of people get jobs that are not very good. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're continually rewarded with jobs.
It happens, but they don't seem to have real long careers, the ones that really suck.
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Right. Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
You're 18?
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
I got this problem with my girlfriend. She's getting hardcore into drugs, you know, getting into meth and stuff.
Yeah, don't believe it.
Well, finish up.
Well, you know, Adam, I just want to say...
No, forget it.
Yeah. What do you want to say, Steve?
Man Show, pure genius.
Thank you, buddy.
Is that it?
Yeah.
No, I really do have this problem with my girlfriend. She's getting hardcore into meth and, like, she's doing acid and stuff like that.
All right, so what's your question?
What should I do? Like, I've been with her for about a year now, and I was just wondering, should I break up with her or...
If you actually are concerned about her and you want to try to help her, there's two things you can do. One is get her to treatment. You can't do anything to improve the situation, but you can get her to treatment. And perhaps, if she really cares about you, threatening to and following through on leaving if she does not get treatment is a way you can sort of wake her up to what she's doing. And secondly, you can go to Al-Anon and get a sponsor and work some
steps. What happened to your voice? Pete Brady?
Yeah,
you just pop a pube?
I've had a horse since this upper respiratory thing I had 3 weeks ago.
All right.
And you're going to Al-Anon will actually, or Narcanon will actually change things for her, but I don't know if you're motivated to do this, do you?
Well, there's like the big thing is really her asshole's big.
Yeah, yeah, right.
His what?
Drew, why do you continue to talk to people that call this show?
I know. You said bogus at the beginning.
All right. Good times there.
What was that last thing you said?
He's a bogus caller.
He was ass as big as a mason jar, which is code for bogus on this show. But it just goes to show how paper thin people are. He said... He got three words into a basic, legitimate 101 kind of love line problem, and it didn't buy it.
Yeah, I didn't feel it either. Yeah.
You didn't?
No, I went ahead to answer it because I thought it needed to be answered.
Well, he did. You know what he did? He did what's unfair for people. It's like, we're sort of like 911.
Right.
If you call us up and you say, and you're laughing and you say, my house is on fire,
right.
And we say, sir, is this a prank call? And you say, no, I'm serious. My house, we have to respond.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If someone's taking drugs and going to kill themselves or something, and you say, I'm serious. And so this guy makes a bogus call, and eight words into it, I say it's a bogus call. And he says, no, seriously, my girlfriend is doing drugs. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, you do kind of have to listen because it's like, well, what if she is really doing
drugs? I wouldn't
have
engaged him in a lot of discussion. Just
Drew, what happened to your bogus antenna?
It's been on tonight.
It has?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, what happened there?
I just felt I needed to answer that one. I agreed with you. It was bogus, but I just felt it needed to be answered. It's bogus.
We got to take a little break. Missy Pyle here from Bringing Down the House. Again, not black, white.
Sorry.
And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Missy Pyle's our guest tonight. She's quite a delight, this Missy.
Oh, wow, that's very sweet of you to say.
She's in Bringing Down the House, number one at the box office, and got something new coming out with Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston, and so when that comes out, you should come over again and give it a plug.
Who is number one?
That's Minka. She's the number one Asian big boob queen. I got to give a quick plug for something I'm doing Sunday. At the, it's to benefit the City of Hope.
At the Improv.
It's at the Improv. It's Sunday. Oh. It's March 30th. It's Love the Kids.
Melrose Improv,
8 o'clock. I'm hosting. It's a whole bunch of stand-up comedians, and that should be enough comedy for you guys. So I'm basically going to run on and off stage and bring them on. I may not even
and
get
not
up
be
on
funny.
Stage. I'm going to try. Hey, if something funny happens, it happens. But I'm not planning anything, so don't
get your hopes up. But throughout his life, a man beloved by the children.
Yeah.
Michelle?
Yes.
24.
Okay, I'm 24, and I've been on Paxil since 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot achieve an orgasm.
It could be just you, or it could be the Paxil.
I think it's the Paxil, because before I could.
All right, well then it's the Paxil. Have you talked to your doctor about that?
Yeah.
And?
Nothing. He hasn't really done anything about it.
Is it a psychiatrist or yeah?
Well, what's something else? Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin or adding Wellbutrin to this sometimes helpful.
Okay.
Remeron, Cerazone. Did you have a lot of panic attacks?
Yeah.
And the Paxil is sort of considered the best for panic attacks, and these other ones aren't necessarily good for that, and that's why they don't want to switch off. And it can be kind of tough to get off Paxil too.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable
really
getting off it.
Really scared to get off of it.
Yeah, so you can understand why they might not be paying so much attention. But adding Wellbutrin, and in fact, some women even respond to Viagra.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I just started dating somebody.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Why would it make you not have an orgasm?
The serotonin changes in your brain make you sex for women particularly the whole libido gets shut down. Sex can feel like weird. It doesn't even make sense to them. And then both men and women very commonly have difficulty having orgasm on those medicines. I mean, yeah. It's a central nervous system.
But guys, we can crank it out.
Oftentimes not.
I could do it. I'll take the...
You take the Paxil challenge?
Yeah, I will. I'll take five of those things, hook myself up to ShopVac, and watch footage of the Holocaust, and I'll get something off. I'd say within 4 minutes.
Missy's got a question.
I was just going to ask her if she wanted to have sex.
Well, I think the thing is it kind of closes you down.
Yeah, she's got a new boyfriend. She's kind of getting ready to...
Well, I mean, like, it's supposed to just... Is it just you can't have an orgasm, or is it...
Do you have sexual desires, Michelle?
Sex drive?
Yeah, I just regained it. I was gone for a long time, and I just kind of gave up. But as a year ago, it's kind of come back.
So you're starting to have a sex drive again.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey, have a good test.
Well, that's the antidepressants. The serotonin reuptake inhibitors are the ones that really shut you down. There's only, again, the Cerazone, Wellbutrin, Remeron, they don't.
Aaron?
Yes?
You're 25?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Okay. I'm trying to keep it not drawn out and long. I am 25 and...
Just do it!
Always, you know, thought I'd grow up, get married, have kids, like, the normal life. And I did have, like, someone abuse me when I was younger, sexually.
Who?
So I went to therapy.
Who was that someone?
Who? Father?
Father. For how long?
A long time, many years.
Many years?
Yeah.
Okay. This is your biological father.
Yeah.
How long were you in treatment for?
Off and on for quite a few years, 5, 6.
Okay.
Right. What happened?
I saw a different therapist.
Did your dad, where is he now?
He's still with my mom.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So your mom got abused, too. I mean, not by him, but by, like, her dad.
Right.
I don't know, probably.
That's usually the way it works.
You have a creepy...
That's why I went to therapy, because I wanted to learn the traits to look for and a spouse one day. And
yeah.
Why did you stop therapy? Why during the off? Were you off during the off periods?
I just wasn't getting anywhere. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, the therapist wasn't very good, I guess.
Does your mom know that your dad did this to you?
Yeah.
Funky father.
Why does she stay
with my brother before I was even born, which was not his biological son?
All right. And what's
so she, and she stayed with them. So
what's Christmas like over at the house?
Oh boy.
Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I work for the airline, so I try to fly. We get double pay.
Okay, yeah, you don't, and listen.
Delta?
Here's what I want to say. Don't worry about hating your dad and your mom and never seeing either one of those idiots ever again.
Jeez.
I'm fine with that. They're horrible people, and they deserve whatever disrespect you give them while you're on this earth. But you got to get...
Unfortunately, I'm under the roof again.
Live with them?
Right now, just because of...
Thank goodness, that's 9/11 what I
...and everything that happened.
Were you laid off?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then I got my job back.
Wait a minute. Listen, you should never have to move in with your parents, no matter what. Don't you have friends?
The same way, but I was shafted, you know?
No. I don't buy it. Something's screwy here. You got some weird connection with them.
They are still her parents. People that are abused by their parents still...
Well, if you sleep in your car for a while, it's kind of hard to get it done.
No. Where's your friends? What's going on? You don't have anybody?
No, not really.
Okay, baby. You gotta continue with the therapy.
Right?
And you gotta get out of that house, too.
Oh, yeah. That's my primary goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because, I mean, the way I have to look at it mentally is I'm just... Using a roof. That's it.
You're what?
Using the roof.
Using them for a roof.
No, there's something bigger going on here. You don't have to move home at age 25. If you want to avoid that, you can avoid that.
Work, I had a tumor, and that kept me from working.
What kind of tumor?
Fibroblastic granuloma, just neoplasmic. I don't know. It's a soft tissue tumor. I had to see a sarcoma doctor in New York.
Yeah, well, that's a cyst, basically. That's not a big deal. You just take it out, and that's that.
So it took six different doctors before they were able to. It was just lack of work.
It was six doctors telling you not to mess with it, and then one doctor that finally took it out.
No, one of them opened it up, and so it was too deep, closed it back
The point is, they told you not to mess with it, and finally one just kind of took it out.
All right, but Aaron, really, all right, here's the thing.
Aaron, you need to make some friends.
You need to make some friends. You need to get out of that house, and you need to stop kidding yourself about the fact that you don't need therapy and that you're just using them for a roof.
Yeah.
You were sucked back into that house. You're 25. You've been out of the house. You don't want to move back. You don't move back.
And
you, there's something compelling you.
There's a lot going on. She was badly abused.
She's
got to be treated. The treatment is not, the process is not over yet.
Right. Okay. Therapy, and more therapy. Drew?
Break.
Who's been on hold for 114 goddamn minutes? Joe?
Yeah.
You're lucky I'm here, buddy.
Thank you.
114 minutes you're on hold.
You got reoccurring back pain.
Unacceptable.
And your urethra hurts.
Yes.
And you're also an opiate addict, right?
Yes.
All right. Everyone with reoccurring back pain is an opiate addict.
And urethra, there are various kinds of urethral pains are caused by opiates. You need to get your opiate addiction treated.
No, he was just kidding. I'm really not addicted to opiates.
Okay. You're not taking any opiates?
No.
How'd you hurt your back?
I didn't hurt my back.
We thought we saw back pain here.
No.
All right. What's the question?
Real quick, I want to ask you a question, Dr. Drew, and then can I ask Adam a couple questions and share some with him?
No.
We have 40 seconds.
Okay.
No.
Basically, for like about 10 years, every 3 to 4 months, for anywhere from 4 days to a week, I will sporadically get this pain, and it occurs in my penis, but particularly my urethra.
Okay, now you have 8 seconds. What about it? What's the reason?
Have you ever heard anything about that, Dr.
Yes, there's lots of reasons for this. And it's well beyond the scope of next 20 seconds. And maybe we can start up with this tomorrow night, guys.
Well, can you just go to a doctor and
I'm sure he's been. I'm sure he's
been. Joe, have you been to the doctor?
No.
Okay.
All right, then go see
That'd
your
be a
urologist.
Good idea.
That'd be a nice place to start. But I get addiction all over here, too, also.
Joe, come on. Some addiction?
No, not at all.
Never. Don't smoke pot.
No, not at all.
You're a heroin addict.
True,
no,
please.
I didn't say that.
All right, Joe. All right.
Go see a urologist. Why you haven't seen one in 10 years? Shocking.
10 years is a long time.
Because it's only like a couple times out of the year that this comes up.
Okay. It can be there's 100 different things it could be. I'd have to ask you a lot more questions.
But should it go when it's hurting?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Disgusted Missy finally.
Yeah.
Or she's had just sort of enough of this.
Honeymoon's over, but she'll be back. They
it's not
all
just you.
Come back.
It's not just you. It's
except
all
for the successful back. Ones. Yeah, they all come back.
Except for the successful ones.
That's right. She'll be back, my dear.
Delightful.
You know why? Because you can't stay away because we're under your skin now. Yeah.
Like a shingle.
Yeah, like a mite that burrows.
Mm.
All right. So I want to thank Missy Pyle, who's not black, for coming in here tonight. From bringing down the house. Make it number one for a 4th straight weekend, everybody. Go out there and see that movie. And I'll see you guys at the Improv on Melrose Sunday night, where I'll not be doing any comedy unless something funny occurs to me.
Which is unlikely. So,
That's right. All right. So, until next... Oh, wait a minute. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phone.
Whatever.
Tara, don't call me Tara, goddamn, for doing a great job on the phone. Producer Ann.
Yeah, whatever.
For booking such a beautiful guest as Missy Pyle and busting her little hymen all week long. And, of course, the magic-fingered one, the Liberace.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
The man with the chameleon scalp, Engineer Anderson. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
But throughout his life, a man beloved by the children.
This has been Loveline. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.